Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life. On Life's Terms, We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: food waste in America. The National Resource Defense Council reported the average American wastes about 25% of food and beverages purchased. For a family of four, the money wasted could total from $1,365 to $2,275. Including food waste generated by industries, an estimated 40% of the food in the United States gets thrown away. Some of the food is perfectly edible. It is costly and wasteful. How? Why is this happening? What impact does it have on the environment? If you think it's not a serious issue, think again. For your information, from DoSomething.org, 1 in 6 people in America face hunger. 49 million Americans struggle to put food on the table. About 795 million people of the 7.3 billion people in the world, or 1 in 9, were suffering from chronic undernourishment in 2014 and 2016. Most of these people, 780 million, live in developing countries. So, how the U.S. manages to waste $165 billion in food each year? Now, we all might be guilty of some of this. I know I am. After, you know, I researched this, I'm very guilty of wasting food and contributing to this issue. Mr. Brad Plummer says, each year about 40% of all food in the United States goes uneaten. It's just tossed in or left to rot. Now, I had some stuff in my refrigerator that went bad. Actually, I had some bananas. They turned very brown, but I used them anyway. I opened them up, and they looked okay. So normally I would have thrown those bananas away, but I used them after researching this article. So anyway, that's a very large waste of resources. All the fresh water and land, all the fertilizer and energy for nothing, because that's what it takes to produce these foods that we waste. So Americans are squandering an equivalent of $165 billion each year by rubbishing so much food. So why are we doing this? How is this happening? So the National Resource Defense Council that tries to track food waste basically is saying, here's some of the reasons why this is occurring. Farming. Roughly 7% of the produce that's grown in the United States simply gets stranded on the fields each year. Some growers plant more crop than there's a demand for to hedge against disease and weather. Some produce goes unpicked because it doesn't meet the standard for shape and color. It's not pretty. At times, perfectly fine crops go unharvested after food safety scares such as FDA's salmonella warning in 2008. Fluctuating immigration laws in states like Georgia can also create shortages of farm workers. Then we also have post-harvest and packing. After crops have been gathered from the field, farmers tend to cool produce to make sure it meets minimum standards for size, color, and weight. And it's, again, that's like a beauty pageant for food. And you got to be a certain, you know, got to look a certain way. And I guess that's the way they market the food. And I guess we become people of a visual society, even in terms of the food we eat. So if it doesn't look pretty, we don't want nothing to do with it. We've been trained to do that. I don't know which it is, you know. One large cucumber, So it's got to meet the minimum size, color, and weight. One large cucumber farmer estimated that fewer than half the vegetables he grows actually leaves his farm. Fewer than half. I'm figuring that's a whole lot of stuff. That's how he makes his living. He's a farmer. I'm sure he's not just selling 100 cucumbers. And that 75% of the cucumbers called before sale are edible. If there's a culprit here, it's our high aesthetic standard for food. Again, that's we like to see pretty food. Understand that just because something does not fit the standard shape doesn't mean it's not any good. You know, those peppers, they got that strange shape in the supermarket. They're good. That's what they're saying. So don't overlook them. They're good. I don't know how they even get there, but I've seen some strange shape fruits in the supermarket, vegetables, and you know, you kind of look at it kind of odd. You do. I know I do. So processing and distributing. Plenty of food gets trimmed in the manufacturing stage through. So most of it is edible. Again, everything, all this stuff is edible. Still, there's also a fair bit of avoidable waste. Technical malfunctions in processing and refrigeration are one big factor. Food can sometimes sit too long at improper temperatures and spoil. And now, you know, those guys that sell the food on the truck, I know that this, in the summertime, a lot of their stuff spoils. You know, and one guy sold me some food that was bad, really. It wasn't, you know, maybe it was edible. I don't know, but it was bad. So I don't know, you know, anyway. So through that, from the time it gets off the field, they put it on a truck, train, plane, or whatever, I don't know, gets spoiled. So that food gets wasted that way. Retail and grocery stores. Grocery stores are another huge source of rubbish food. I can imagine that. With the USDA estimated that supermarkets toss out 15 billion worth of unsold fruits and vegetables alone each year. But waste is also seen as the cost of doing business. Stores would rather overstock their shelves and throw out the remainder than look empty. Supermarkets will also winnow out produce that's in subpar condition. So they got to be pretty. Since few shoppers want to buy an apple that's all bruised up. So there we go. So we had this thing about, we were very visual about the food we eat. So there's also the sell-by expiration date. Now, I know I got caught up in this sell-by expiration date because it sounds like don't buy it. If it says sell-by and it's past the expiration date, then you don't buy it because hence sell-by, so won't buy past the sell-by date. But they're saying report cites one industry estimate that each store throws out an average of $2,300 worth of food each day because the products have neared their expiration day. Yet most of this food is still edible. In many states, it's still perfectly legal to sell food past its expiration date. Many stores would just prefer not to. It looks bad. Most stores, in fact, pull items 2 to 3 days before the sell-by date. That is a waste. So they had a small chart of foods that go, that get lost. Fruits and vegetables at 50%, 52%, 48% is consumed. Seafood, 50%, 50% is consumed. Grain products, 38%, and I thought they last a long time. So 68% is consumed. Meat, 22% lost. 78% consumed. We had some serious carnivores. Milk, 20% law, 80% consumed, and we love milk. So food service and restaurants. A good chunk of the food's lost in the kitchen on an average. Diners leave about 17% of their food uneaten, and you know we got those you got the all you can eat restaurants now. You know, these people be stacking that food on the plate. You know, I never try to put anything on my plate, not toot my own horn, but if I put on my plate, I'm going to eat it. So there's no need to stack it because you can always go back and get more. So if you want to eat a lot, eat it in small portions, then go back and get more. Just don't pour it on your plate because lots of food are going to waste through that process. And I mean, you pay for it. But really, that has a as you're going to see, has an effect on environment. As portions have ballooned in the past 30 years, right? They say that now people put bigger portions on the plate now. And you can put your own portion on an all-you-can-eat restaurant. So, you know, restaurants also try to keep more food than they need on hand to make sure that everything on the menu is available. So that's overstocking again. So if you overstock anything, something is going to fall to the wayside. It's just because hence the term overstocking. Chain restaurants have inflexible rules that require perfectly good food to be tossed. McDonald's, for instance, requires fries to be thrown out after 7 minutes. I wonder if they do that. 7 minutes is a very short period. I wonder if they throw the fries out after 7 minutes. They should be throwing out fries almost all half the time you come into the store. Or are we eating that many McDonald's fries? Who knows? Households. This appears to be a big one. According to various estimates, American families throw out between 14 and 25% of the food and beverages they buy. This can cost an average family between $1,365 to $2,275 annual. So if you had this issue, ask yourself, can you use $1,300 or $2,200 a year? There's a great deal of confusion around expiration labels, which tend to be confusing and often prompt people to throw out food prematurely. I had a friend tell me a long time ago that you can eat food past the expiration date, but it wasn't making sense to me since it had an expiration date on the food by the people who are trying to sell it. If it's okay to eat it past the expiration date, why wouldn't they sell it, you know? So I don't know, you know. It is kind of confusing. So maybe they need to, explain what that is to consumers. Disposal. Not all discarded food is equal. The report estimates that only 3% of thrown out food in the United States is compost. Most end up in landfills where they decompose and release methane, a powerful heat-trapping greenhouse gas. In fact, about 23% of U.S. methane emissions comes from landfill food. Okay? Technologies, composting, or even technologies to capture methane could reduce that. So they're basically saying you could actually use the methane gas in industries. And go on. What causes food waste? While food loss happens mainly at the production stage due to insufficient skill, natural calamity, lack of proper infrastructure, and poor practices, food waste occurs when edible food is intentionally discarded by consumers after they fail to plan their meals properly and store food till it spoils. So, I don't know about you guys, this has recently just changed the way I do things. Cause, you know, I always thought that, you know, maybe you need to just shop for the stuff that you're going to eat, fill up your refrigerator, because they say if you fill your refrigerator up, there's going to be some stuff that's going to sit in there for a long time. And I don't fill mine up. I mean, I had one onion go bad. And I mean, you can just look at my refrigerator and see the onion. But it was a piece of onion. It went bad. So callers, don't forget to press the number one if you want to speak. The impact of food waste on the environment. More than 50% of the waste occurs during what they call upstream of the production, yield, handling, and storage phase, and the remaining happens during processing, distribution, and consumption stages, or the downstream phase. So you got the one when you're gathering it, right, before you get it to the shelves, and then you got the other one when you take it to the supermarket. That's distribution. You take it to where it's going to be sold, and the consumer's going to get it. So those are the two phases that this author has identified. Developing countries were more likely to lose or waste food at the upstream phase due to lack of proper harvest techniques and infrastructure. They just don't have the technology to take care of the crop. Food waste that ends up in landfills produces a large amount of methane, a more powerful greenhouse gas than even CO2. It's a methane is I didn't know that. Was more powerful than CO2. For the unintended excess amounts of greenhouse gases such as methane, CO2, and chlorofluorocarbons absorb infrared radiation and heat up the Earth's atmosphere. That's global warming, y'all. They say it's no global warming. These guys are saying that's real. Causing global warming and climate change. We got a lot of crazy climate going on around here. So are we contributing to global warming through our food waste? Very, very important. Everybody, we have enough food, but I don't know if we feel like we might not be able to get enough food, or are we being greedy? I don't know what the circumstances are, but we need to be mindful about what we purchase and use of the things that we're going to purchase. Make sure we have proper method of storage for things that we buy, and room, because you can have the proper facilities, but if you don't have room, you don't have proper facilities to store the food that you purchase, and then you risk throwing that food out. So remember that. With Thanksgiving coming up, everybody eat merry, eat as much as you want, but eat it all. If it's not a bone, you know, you don't have nothing to throw away. All right? So just try to eat everything that you put on your plate, because apparently this stuff is causing a serious problem, which personally I didn't know that it was this serious. I know we got a lot of garbage, but I didn't know we was hurting the atmosphere with it. You know, I have no idea about methane gas and food waste. So with agriculture accounting for 70% of the water used throughout the world, food waste represents a great waste of fresh water and groundwater resources. Why? Because they use that to grow and cultivate the food sources, right? You got to water the plants and stuff like that. So, and you know, and then half of those plants don't even make it to market. And then when you get to market, maybe a quarter of those don't make it to the consumer. Then you get to the consumer, and maybe a quarter to a half of what, or something, a certain percentage it is, gets thrown away because they just, you know, didn't get to it. It's stuck in the back of the refrigerator. Maybe they didn't freeze or burn, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's a vicious cycle right there. Throwing out 1 kilogram of beef, you are essentially wasting 500 liters of water. That's a lot of water. So you throw out a kilogram, I think 1 kilogram is 2.2 pounds. 100 liters of water are wasted when you pour 1 glass of milk down the drain. 1 glass of milk, 100 liters of water. If you look at land uses, around 1.4 billion acres of land, which is roughly one-third of the world's total agricultural land, is used to grow food that is wasted. Millions of gallons of oil are used every year to produce food that is not eaten. So that's like you're wasting oil. You're just wasting resources to produce food that's not going to be eaten. All this does not even take into account that the negative impact on biodiversity due to the activities like monocropping and converting wild lands into agricultural areas. That's destroying the environment, converting wild lands into agricultural areas, because we're not doing, we're not planting and harvesting practices. So what can be done to tackle food waste? Well, Mr. Joe Graziano, De Salva, says, stop food waste. Change has to be brought in at every stage of the process. Let me just name a lot, you know, from the time you get the seed, put it in the ground, nurture that seed, take it, prepare it for distribution, distribute it, put it on the sell for sale, consume it, purchase it, consume it or not, or refrigerate or whatever you're doing. That process, all through the whole process, from the time we from the beginning to the end, food is being wasted. So we need to be more mindful about that. We have to, he says, we need to develop better food harvesting, storing, processing, and distributing processes. If oversupply happens, steps should be taken to redistribute the food or divert it to people who are in need. Why isn't that happening? Some people don't want to do that because of lawsuits associated with, okay, I got some food from Kentucky Fried Chicken and I got sick, salmonella or whatever. And so they don't want to be sued and things like that. I'm going to use Kentucky Fried Chicken as an example. Nobody said that to me. I didn't read that anywhere. I'm just throwing it out there, just using it as an example. So large restaurants, supermarkets, retail outlets, and individual consumers can also reduce their food footprint by identifying where waste occurs and taking steps to tackle the same. Fruits which are misshaped or ugly are not necessarily bad and can still be bought and used in dishes like soups, right? Consumers should also try to buy food in accordance with a meal plan so that they don't end up wasting edible food, right? So don't be so quick to fill the refrigerator up. We got a caller on 9042. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yeah, I think it should be a known, like, you see the homeless around Philadelphia, one of the things they need is food. It should be a designated place. Let's start with the major cities, Philadelphia, you know, all the major cities, place where people can get this food that they normally throw out. But before they get it, they have to voluntarily sign paperwork saying, you know, they choose to eat this food, you know, so they won't, people won't be sued that's giving it. Make the food safe, wrap it up properly, refrigerate it properly. That's one solution. So there should be nobody hungry in the United States. Nobody. Number two, find a way of getting that food quicker to the various people in those countries that are hungry. You see the pictures on the TV. All my life I saw those pictures of people that down to bone. And we got all this food here we're throwing away. So I think we have the means to transport it. You just have to have the will to do it. That there should be a steady flow of food coming from not just the United States, but any European country that have excess food. They know what they throw away, and let those countries sign off on not being sued once, you know, and give the food away rather than to throw it away and have people hungry. You just got to have a mindset, a person that's wise and packing. We got the people exist. It's just that they got to go in a room and put their heads together. There should be nobody on the street hungry in none of these cities, number one. And there should be nobody hungry in those other countries rather than food go to waste. And by doing that, we will make people more healthier, obviously. And in the long run, it will help all the countries. Because a healthy people is a working people, and a working people, you create a job by just doing that. By just doing that, we'll create jobs. You know, you need foot labor. You need foot patrol. You can get the home and say, look, you're hungry. Come here, help us, you know, do the food, give the food, distribute the food. You would, at the same time, you would be creating thousands upon thousands of jobs, just flowing the food. Just flowing the food. And then the American public should be more educated on put minimum on your plate. I learned through classes I go to because I'm type 2 diabetic, and it's a portion is the point. Parents should not be just piling up food on the plate. They should put a portion on the plate and let that child ask for more.
Right.
And adults should do the same thing. you know, then the person cooking the food can either refrigerate it and stretch it out for more than one day. Don't have to be up to those fast food, eating those unhealthy food on a regular basis.
Right.
So the problem solution is there. The food, there's enough food in this world to feed everybody.
That's right. That's a fact.
But it's called distribution and a will of people to want to do. It's morally right and economically right. It's a win-win situation. You know, you just need someone in a leadership role to say, let's do it. Start on a small scale. I'd like to see Philadelphia be the profile of doing that, the prototype to do that. And when it works well here, other cities will come on board and do whatever that is.
Right.
So the food is here on the planet. It just have a mindset to just distribute it. You know,
that's
my thoughts. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. We have another caller, 3498. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hi. I just wanted to share a couple things. In my neighborhood, and I can only speak for what I see, I do see the neighborhood supermarket, which is a pretty large chain. They do give food, and I'm thinking it's like a shelter or a homeless shelter. I go in the supermarket at 7 a.m. when they're first opening, and I always see this a minivan outside, and it has a couple of workers, and they always have a couple of shopping carts full of, you know, groceries. I see bread and fruits and vegetables and buns and different things, but and they're just loading it into the car, and I'm thinking that it's a homeless shelter, and they're donating, you know, the outdated items. So I think that's a good thing, and I don't know if other supermarkets are doing that, but I've noticed this on several occasions, the same, you know, van with the same workers, you know, that they're loading up, you know, different groceries into their van. So I think that the supermarket is donating, you know, some things, which is a good cause, and maybe other ones are doing it as well. And just, you know, talking also about, like, portion control and don't put more on your plate than you're going to eat. I think parents, when they're starting their children off as babies with eating, and I work with small babies, and I notice that moms have a habit of every time the baby cries, she's shoveling a bottle down their throat, like they just know that the baby's hungry, and that's not always what it is. Then their stomachs are getting stretched out because they're being overfed. So eating habits, you know, starts off when you're a small infant. And if your mom is overfeeding you, and then by the time the baby is 2 months old, they're putting cereal in, you know, lots of cereal inside of their milk. And that also helps for stretching their stomachs out of shape. And then as they're getting older, the kids are eating more and more, and they do waste. Children are known to waste. But I think, you know, parents need to monitor what they're doing with their child, you know, when they're infants. You know, not just because they're crying, we're going to feed them because they're hungry. Because that's not why babies are always crying. But I just wanted to share that about the supermarket in my neighborhood, and they do donate food. I see on a regular basis.
Okay, so thumbs up for that supermarket.
Pardon me?
I said okay.
I didn't hear what you said.
To that supermarket. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm hoping that other supermarkets could be doing it. I'm not sure, but the one that I shop at, I see it all the time.
Okay.
So I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have another caller, 036. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
How you doing, Carlton? Hello, listeners and callers. This is Q.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things the previous caller said. I was thinking the same thing about the extra food. That sounds like some type of a non-profit that can form together and kind of collect the food and distribute it throughout the community, where it's needed and so forth. But another thing about the supermarket loading up food. I don't know if anyone
right.
ever asked this, the workers at the supermarket whether or not they were donating food. Because what they have now at the supermarket is a delivery service. And
oh, okay.
You make your order, and they pack your food and bring it to you in those trucks.
Right.
But I'm curious. I'm gonna ask those people in those supermarkets if they are donating food. But I'm wondering if it's actually that delivery service. But I think that's a real good idea.
Yeah.
The other call I had about the not non-profit, because I don't think it would be a profiting situation. I think it would be more like a non-profit type of business venture. But yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I also practice what you said about eating what I put on my plate. I don't store a lot of food in my refrigerator. And, you know, all that good stuff. But as much as I tried, I still want to have a certain amount of food that I'm throwing away. But another thing I want to say is that in those developing countries, you know, the U.S. isn't alone with wasting food. In those developing countries, and you see those people are starving and everything like that.
Right.
The starving population... every day they're down at the dump. You know what I mean? They're
right.
getting their food from, you know, from
food
the
waste.
From the dump. Right. Every
right.
day I've seen that on television. So
right.
I mean, I understand that we're wasting a lot of food, probably the most or one of the worst in the world probably, but you know, the U.S. isn't alone in wasting food.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
And as the previous caller said, it's our responsibility as human beings to see that other human beings are fed, are taken care of. That's our job.
I agree.
Okay, we have another
That's
caller. Were you done, Q?
Yeah.
You done?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, we have a caller of 1510. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hi, I have a couple of things to say about what you're talking about. The one thing that I want to say is I'm part of a organization that pairs with a program called Food Connect. And what Food Connect does is it connects with neighboring food resources like your supermarkets, your little delis, different businesses in the community that have leftover food, and they provide the transportation to deliver the food to organizations who are part of the Food Connect that's willing to receive this food and distribute it, you know, to either its customer base or community resources or people in the community that would like to take this food. Sometimes the challenge with that food is that often it expires either the same day you get it or the next day.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that, say, if the company was getting rid of some food, the expiration date for that food may be November 4th, and that's the same day that they're bringing it to your business. Or it might expire November 5th, and you may get a large donation that you are, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to distribute it so that, you know, people get it in a timely manner. And from a business aspect, we can't serve expired food to our clients. Bible reference that's talked about loving thy neighbor like you love yourself, and why we can't give out food that has maybe a longer period prior to the expiration date. Why we always got to wait till it's getting ready to expire before we help somebody who needs help. The other thing that I was going to say is that
Let me stop you for a minute. I think they said that supermarkets do it within 2 or 3 days. They remove them from the shelf. So maybe in that process, that's what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And the expiration date don't necessarily mean the food's not any good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the date that they put on there.
Yeah, but when it's foods like salads and stuff like that, sometimes that food does go by that date. Maybe some of the
what
more
What do you mean
perishable.
By that? Goes by the date. It does the
meaning
food look bad?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes
oh,
the food,
if it looks
you know,
bad, it's
does
bad.
Go bad.
Right.
Yeah, it goes bad by that date. So the other thing that I want to say, the Bible also talks about how can I best explain this? How when, you know, there was food being grown to feed, like, the people of the house of the king, that there was always a time where after the king's family and staffing or whoever was fed, that there was always food left over for the servants. And then once the servants was fed, that there was what they call gleaming, where food was left over for those straggler strangers in the community who are passing by. So in my opinion, from what I understand about the Bible, God already made provisions for the poor. It's us who withhold from them. And I remember as a little girl, I grew up in an area where Gold Medal Bakery was. And I remember as a child, at the end of the night, when, you know, they were about to close or whatever, people could stand in line outside the bakery to get fresh bagels and bread and donuts and things that they didn't turn over for the day. So I think that, you know, we've just gotten away from that. You know, we so easily to just, you know, throw something in the trash or not think about, you know, the person who may not have what you have. So that's
why
my
comment. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think a store might or bakery might not give out all cake at the end of the day? Why do you think he might not do that?
Lawsuits.
I think in some cases they're really hoping that they still have an opportunity to sell it. You know, and maybe or now you got also you got these what is it? Save-A-Lots alleys, marketplaces. You have those kind of stores that, you know, say, well, you know, it has an expiration date, but you still got 10 days or you still got 5 days. It still could be salvageable. So I've seen that too. You know, so I don't know. Maybe they have another resource that they do. They transfer it to that could still make money off of it.
Right. Or the fact that if I know you're going to wait to the end of the day to get a product from me, you're not going to come to my store and buy it. How about that?
Well, that too, but, you know, it may not always be a guarantee. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it might only be enough to feed some, but not enough to feed all that might be waiting.
Right.
You know,
I'm not saying he's trying to feed everybody. I'm just saying that in terms of earning money, flipping that product, he wants to earn the cash for the product. He's not really concerned about feeding people. He's primary. He's in business to make money, so he wants people to come in and buy it. Don't wait till, you know, I can't make money off of it, come and get it. So he might be looking at it that way.
Well, the other thing too is many people who work in those kind of environments is what we call the working poor. So at the same time, you could give it to the shelters, the street people. You know what I'm saying? The people who you think may not have the means. You know, people aren't getting paid a lot of money these days. Is it that big a deal if you're going to get rid of it anyway to extend it to your employees? You know, say, well, at the end of the night, you know, this was over. Anybody, you know, who wants this, here's a giveaway then. You know, and help your own employees out sometimes.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I run into that every year with this Christmas stuff, you know. There's people that are employed. They have less needs than the people, you know, we call clients. But there's always, you know, a problem when it comes to helping our working poor.
Right.
That's right under our wing, you know, that we see struggling, you know, having difficulty day in and day out.
Right.
All right, well, thank you for allowing me to make my comment.
All right, thanks for calling. So I think we have some grassroots solutions. We still need to encourage those at the other spectrum of the food production industry, where lots of food, like God has a crop. He's planting more crops than he needs because he has to take into account, well, insects going to eat some, you know, animals going to eat some, natural disaster, the ugly fruit, the ugly oranges and stuff like that, because people don't want to buy the one that don't look good. So we like everything looking like it's walking down the, beauty aisle, something like that. I don't know. We like pretty food, too. So I don't know. That's hurting us at this point. You know, as I said previously, this methane gas situation is very, very serious. You know, and it's enough. We have people who can't eat, who can't find food to eat. Then we have people that have too much food, so much food to eat, that they put so much on their plate, they throw it away and may get another plate of something else just because they didn't want that. Or we have so much food in our refrigerator that it goes bad because, oh, man, I didn't get to that. You know, it's freezing burn. I don't want it, you know. And, you know, we just have to be more mindful of how we consume, purchase, and consume food, you know. You can eat as much as you can eat. How about that? And, you know, be mindful of the people out there that could have used that. And you're hurting the environment also when you throw away this food because it's going into these landfills, which is not good also. And obviously, the sister just mentioned Gleeman, there are some people off. You know, I think there are some people doing that, practicing some form of gleaning. So they say that farmers must agree in terms set by supermarkets and manufacturers, agreeing to provide an established amount of produce, resulting in farmers overplanting. See that when you overdo anything, you have too much, you're going to lose something because you got too much of something, you know. So they said, for example, a British carrot farmer who sells to a UK supermarket chain purposely plants up to 25% more carrots than needed in order to ensure that he meets the demand. Feeding America estimates that more than 6 billion pounds of fresh produce go unharvested or unsold each year within the United States. Overproduction. So why is it all this stuff? Severe and unreasonable Western standards demand uniform produce meets requirements of length and height, lift size, and color. So that's like, yo, you mean all our apples got to look alike? All our pears got to look alike, got to have a certain shape to it? I mean, we don't come, the people don't even come that way. You know, we come in all shapes and sizes. And that doesn't mean that we should be discarded because we don't have a certain look, you know. So why are we doing our fruit this way, you know, this food? You know, but maybe we've been socialized to, you know, to see things that way. Maybe our minds have been manipulated to think that, you know, a pear with a different kind of shape or a pepper with a curb in it. It's not a good pepper when it's actually a perfectly good pepper. It just has a curb in it. You're going to eat it anyway. So, you know, we need to, you know, rethink about how we view food in terms of the aesthetic point of view. Of course, if something is rotten, you know, we know, you know, you don't want that. You know, carrots, for example, must be straight and vibrant in color. See, all the carrots got to look a certain way. You know, what kind of nonsense is that? Fork carrots and their orange brethren do not meet these standards, cannot be sold, and are often left to waste. They don't even sold. Like, you know, if you have something that don't meet the standard, it should be somewhere where that food gets to people who need it. Like the sister was saying, you know, like the brother was saying, anybody was saying, the three callers that did call. If it's something that the industry, that does not meet industry standard, and it is good, then let the people that need it get to it. You know, people who can't afford to feed themselves. You got enough people who are undernourished, starving, and give it to them. That's our responsibility as human beings to take care. There's the strong supposed to take care of the weak. The rich should be taking care of the poor, even though that's a show in itself. Because in order to get rich, you have to do certain things anyway. You know, but if you have, the people who have should take it, the people who have not. So it shouldn't be. This situation, unfortunately, is this. And we need to be more humane about the way that we produce, distribute, and consume food, or not do those things. So, typically, manufacturers, suppliers produce products to between 1 to 3 supermarkets, making full factories utterly dependent upon their few customers. In contrast, supermarkets may be innumerable suppliers, allowing them to painlessly switch between manufacturing companies. This dictatorial business relationship enables supermarkets to restrict suppliers and grants them the power to change orders at the last minute, resulting in an excess amount of pre-made and pre-packaged food that is forbidden from being sold elsewhere or donated due to supplier carrying supermarket labels and logos. You know, you got a logo and that's your brand, so you can't sell that anywhere else. That's some legal stuff. So that's crazy. And for people to be starving for these reasons or undernourished. Food waste during manufacturing means the untold amounts of energy and resources are expended in the creation of food that is never even saved. As I said before, it takes water, gas, I don't know, if diesel, if you got a diesel-operated machine, human energy. You're just wasting a lot of energy on something that's not doing what it should be doing. When food needs to be consumed. And I'm not talking about us over-consuming food. I mean food getting to the people who need it. The commercial food landscape leads to the disposal of unsold but still edible produce that surpasses the sell-by date, or items that are excessively handled or bruised by browsing buyers. Various unregulated use by Best Buy and sell-by stamps are not an indication of food safety. Caller, remember? We talked about that. But are instead suggestions for peak quality, even though these days are commonly stamped indiscriminately unto both perishable and non-perishable items. So if the salad looks bad, it's bad. I don't care if it's before the expiration date or after it. If you use your eyes, use the senses, if it looks bad, it is bad. So, you know, salad, your lettuce shouldn't be brown and you know, dark brown and stuff like that. So, in addition, unwanted surplus stock and sell-by date confusion. Supermarkets also repeatedly throw out food whose packaging has been damaged. If one of them within a larger pack is blemished, the whole pack will generally be chucked out. The monetary loss as a consequence of surplus foodstuffs, damaged packaging, rotten food, and surpassed sell-by dates is recouped by jacking up the retail price of any item 2 to 3 times the cost of price of the price. So when they throw that stuff out, the good stuff too, they jack up the price of the other stuff that you going the same product you're going to buy. So, you know, supermarkets have turned the wasting of food into a financial gain. Not only do they benefit from overstocked shelves, but the selling of aesthetic produce is more profitable than selling cheaper and uglier produce, although both are likely identical in taste and nutrition. Man, what are we thinking about? Remedy, I'm going down to the remedy because Sister mentioned Gleeman. Gleeman is not a new revolutionary idea. She said that from biblical times they practiced Gleeman. This practice of collecting post-harvest produce is documented as far back as the Old Testament. Renewing the practice of Gleeman would feed numerous hungry people while helping to prevent high-quality and nutritious food from ending up in landfills. In 1 year alone, 3,647,595 pounds of Glean food were saved from landfills and donated to charities and food shelves. Carrot waste and spent grain can be converted into fiber for human consumption, while soluble and insoluble fiber from apple, tomatoes, and carrot waste, as well as pills from citrus fruit, can be extracted in various classes to bind water in food due to their absorbent properties and ability to form gel. So these things can be used for other things, but they're not even using them for that. They're throwing them and chucking them, putting, you know, using byproducts to produce additives such as fiber and oils is one means of transforming waste food material into sellable renewable materials. Fibrous materials found in spent grains can also be employed as filler and structural material in building materials such as fiberboard or brick. Look here, they said they could use it in bricks. So they burn away during the kiln process and form pores in the bricks. They increase the brick's ability thermally insulate. Ain't that something? Now, who would have thought of that? Now, that's amazing. That's a good way to use the term amazing. Farmers almost always supplement their pigs feeding trout with whey or slop, leftover kitchen scraps and plate waste. Feeding pigs food leftover is a sustainable means of supplementing a grain-based pig diet by providing various vitamins, minerals, and proteins. Hudson County were able to feed over 25,000 pigs off of hotel waste acquired from Newark, and New Jersey alone. They fed 25,000 pigs, you know, for you people to eat pork. Food waste that is difficult or impossible to use in animal folders, such as food scraps with high mineral content, can be used to revert the cycle of soil damage caused by agriculture. So, because you know, you damage the soil or grow crops, and you know, so we need to look at all these things and change the way that we deal with food. I'm gonna have to end the show now, but I want to thank everybody for calling in, all you listeners. I want to thank Retail Productions for allowing me to host the show, to create it.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Stay tuned next week.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Mm-hmm.